tonight is the halachas of what's called Dover Charif, which is referred to in halacha as sharp foods. We'll go through some of those halachas. What are the sharp foods? What significance do they have in halacha? And some practical. We'll go through some practical examples of that. Chazal recognized the fact that we live in the world where one of the most common issues in the world of kashrus is the issue of absorptions. That there are flavors which go from foods into utensils, from utensils into the food, and create all these fascinating scenarios that the rabbi has to deal with. Milk, fleishig, something wasn't kosher, etc. How do we deal with all those issues? So there's a certain hierarchy how they work. And within that hierarchy, it came along, Chazal recognized that something which has a sharpness to it functions differently than the average item. So, there are four or five areas where we deal with what's called dover charif, which is sharp, different than the regular food. Number one, one of the axioms in the rule of absorption is you need heat. Absorptions require heat. So if I put two cold items next to each other, they don't absorb from each other. If I put some cold milk into a fleishig pot, it's a clean fleishig pot, and by mistake I pour some milk in it, pour it out, wash it off with cold water, no problem, because it doesn't absorb without heat. Dover charif can absorb without heat. That's the first extraordinary thing that dover charif has. Together with the power of what's called ducha de sakina, through pressure of a knife, I should have put that on the list also. Ducha de sakina, through pressure of a knife, it can absorb. So if I take a fleishig knife and I cut an onion, so the onion is cold. It's a cold knife, clean knife, cold knife, cold onion. Everything is cold, and the onion becomes fleishig. Everyone's password. You can sit there also. So that's something extraordinary about the Rechorv that has the ability to through Duch the Sakina, it can absorb without heat. That's number one. The second area of Duch Rechorv that was extraordinary about Duch Rechorv is that we also know that one of the questions you always ask, the Rav's going to ask you, and you want to know, when was the last time this item was used for... Okay, so it was hot. I used the milk like a spoon to stir my fleishig pot. When was the last time the spoon was used? Because there's a concept in halacha, it has not been used in 24 hours, the flavor which is in the spoon is called pogum. And pogum is dealt with in a different way in halacha. So that doesn't apply to dover charif. There's no issue of pogum. When it comes to dover charif, pogum becomes irrelevant. The fact that the flavor is 24 hours, it doesn't make a difference. Less than time of gam doesn't apply to a dover charif. It's number two. Number three, the difference between dover charif and the regular halacha is a concept which is referred to in halacha as noisin tam bar noisin tam, or also known to as not bar not. So, the contraction for noisin tam bar noisin tam. So the concept in halacha is that a flavor goes from a food. If I cook something in a pot, so there's an absorption of flavor from the food into the wall of the pot. That's called a noisin tam, that it puts a flavor from the food into the wall of the pot. I clean out the pot, empty it out, totally clean it out. But within 24 hours, I put something else in there. We assume that the flavor goes from the wall of the pot into the food. That's called a noisin tam, bar noisin tam. But the flavor was a derivative of the flavor, which was a derivative of the original flavor. The original food created a flavor in the wall, and that flavor now went into the food. So it's called nat bernat. Now, nat bernat has significance in halacha when it comes to issues of milchiks and fleishiks together. When all I have is nat bernat, so the Gemara's example is the Gemara says if I have a plate which I use for hot fleishiks. So it absorbed fleishig of flavor. Now it's clean. And I put some hot fish on that plate. So the hot fish now absorbs that flavor. I'm allowed to eat that fish with milk. And Morris says. not bernad, is mutter to eat it together with milchiks. Now, what I mean, the milk is mechalikus in Ashkenazim and Svardim. That's a different share at one point in time. Svardim hold that you would be allowed to chadchila go and put it there with intention to put it, eat it with milchiks afterwards. And Ashkenazi will tell you that we don't do the chadchila. I can't go and cook up water in my fleshiga pot to make a cup of coffee and put milk in it. I can't do that. But if I did do that, I'm allowed to drink the cup of coffee. But not by case of Dovr Chorov. There is this idea of a secondary flavor, that the flavor gets reduced through the process of going into the wall and from the wall into the food, so into the power of a food, doesn't apply to the case of a Dovr Chorov. So Dovr Chorov wouldn't have the heter of not bar not. Yeah.
If you boiled hot water, not intention of making the coffee, but the water was already boiled, and you decide you want a cup of coffee after it's already hot, are you allowed to then take that water and make your coffee? And that was boiling
coffee? Yes. Not everybody agrees with that, but the answer is yes. Does that sound Jewish?
It sounds like my husband.
What? Sounds like your husband. Okay. I remember once there was a Rav in Cleveland, this Rav with this big beard and this big hat, you know, he was saying one of these halachas of not bernat, the situation, you know, and the lady starts screaming, you can't do that. He says, ladies, I am not a Reformed rabbi. I'm not a Reformed rabbi, I promise you. I'm not a Reformed rabbi, but it's mutter. Yeah. Okay, so that's the third area which is extraordinary about the halachas of Dovr Chorev, that it doesn't have the concept of so you don't need heat. Pogum doesn't play a role. Not Bernat doesn't play a role. The fourth area is in the world of Kavush. So the case where, also the case where it's not through heat, we recognize there's another way for absorption of flavor to take place, not through heat. If I leave, if I have a fleshiga pot, and I put water in there, and the water sits in that pot for 24 hours, that water becomes fleshiga. There's no heat. Kavush is kemavushal. The fact that it sits in the item in there for 24 hours, it gets the flavor of, it gets that status of the container. So if I have a fleshiga container, we'll define what that fleshiga means in a second, and I leave something in there for 24 hours, it becomes fleshiga, even though it's a part of a food item. Or vice versa. That's only true if there's liquid there. If it's totally dried, it doesn't apply. So if I store, I have a fleshy container and I store flour in there, which is totally dry, it doesn't change its status. That's only relevant if this container had flavor in it, which absorbs through heat. In other words, it was used for actual hot. Otherwise, it's not what makes a fleshy. What made the container fleshy to start with? But the time it takes to absorb is 24 hours, not by Dovr Chorev. Dovr Chorev, the time it takes it to absorb is machloikis, whether it's 18 minutes or 10 minutes.
Is that cold and hot water?
Doesn't
matter.
Well, once the clean, the flation is clean because it was absorbed through heat, now if I put cold water in there, right, so it'll become flation, right? So if I put out grain on my Shabbos suda on the table in a fleshiga bowl, and it sits in that fleshiga bowl, which was used with hot if it sits in there for 18 minutes, that's fleshiga grain. So I can't use that grain afterwards. I couldn't mix it with some type of a milk dish. I couldn't mix it with that afterwards. It'd be also, the grain became flation. So the fourth area where Dovr Chorev is extraordinary.
Even if you didn't, let's say you don't put hot in the bowl, but you wash it in your dishwasher.
If you don't put hot in the bowl, but you wash it in the dishwasher, that would not be an issue because that which we say that Dovr Chorev doesn't worry about pogum, the fact that it's a bad flavor, that's only a pogum which was developed because it became stale on the walls of the food. But a flavor which is intrinsically pogum, it can't correct. So we assume that any flavor, I have a bowl which I don't really use for fleshigs in any real way, any hot fleshigs in any real way, but I put in my fleshig in the dishwasher together with detergent, etc. So the flavor is going in pogum because of the detergents. So that's already, since it's going in pogum, so that's a different, that the Dovr Chorev wouldn't be able to correct that.
And what's the fleshig that you can't eat it with, like, alongside any methods at all? Like, it's really
It's not a shalation. You cannot eat it with tether milchus.
If it's underage, let's say you did it by mistake, and so you caught yourself before the 18 minutes.
So then that's parah still. Okay. There's a fifth area where the Rechar possibly has halacha. That there's a discussion in halacha whether bishul with a klisheni, the klisheni, whether it has not a kli rishon, but a klisheni, it has the ability to take flavors and put it into the wall of the kli, or take out from the wall of the kli. Excuse me. But the Chavos Das says when it comes to the Brachor, even a klisheni would have the ability to take in and out flavors out of a kli, even in a klisheni. In the case of bishul, in a klisheni, it would be able to take, it wouldn't cook, but it has the ability to be maflit and mavliya, to take flavors out and put flavors into the kli. So those are the four or five areas where there's something extraordinary about the idea of Dabra Chor.
Yes.
The glass might be different, but let's assume not. We let's assume not. Okay, now, so that's like the introduction.
You've been assuming that glass is different. Is that a problem? Like, I use my measuring cups because they're glass for various different things all the time.
Assuming that you're using for hot, you mean, let's say hot oil.
For like boiling hot soup, if I'm measuring that, I do have a fleshek one, but like I can't promise that they've never touched any hot fleshek.
Well, in the average scenario, this is not the Rechorif, so then it's ain't a bit.
If I'm measuring out onions, they are. If I'm measuring out, I don't know, garlic, I don't know, whatever it is.
Okay, so the just putting onions, the Dabra Chorif, into a container without any pressure. There is one opinion, if it's wet, you should be careful not to do that, but yeah, but it's not going to affect any flavor.
Squeeze garlic into the measuring, whatever.
Right, so that would not make it, you know, would not absorb flavor in that situation. At least not, yeah, but for sure not. Okay, so now, let's go back to number one. Number one was, and again, I want to explain the halacha, and then we'll go through some examples. So we said there's a concept called, normally the transfer of flavor requires heat. By Dabra Chor, something which is sharp, it does not require heat, but it does require what's called Ducha de Sakina. That there either is cooking, that's a different, you know, that's with heat. But a case where it's not cooking, a case where it's cold, it absorbs together with Ducha de Sakina through pressure. That pressure does not have to, the example the Mor gave was a knife. But that's clear in the law, it's not limited to a knife. The example the Mor gives was a case of a maducha, which is a mortar and a pestle, where it's crushing. It's a crushing process. So it'll be a cutting process, it will be a crushing process, it'll be a blender, chopping, grating, all of those things have the status like of this, the same power as ducha de sakina, that it would affect a transfer of flavor by Dabra Chor, even without heat. Okay. That's number one. Number two, this halacha of ducha, so how far does the concept of ducha go? So there is there's an opinion in halacha which we are concerned about. Bidiyavid, you'll have to ask halacha l'maisa, in the chadchilas for sure. So I have a cutting board, and I have a fleshiga knife, and I have a part of a cutting board. This is a question I get once in a while, right? So somebody says, well, they cut onions on their part of a cutting board with their fleshiga knife. So what's the status of the knife is fleshig, the onion is fleshig. What's the status of the cutting board? So the Chacham Zadim says the cutting board is now fleshig. So not only does it take a flavor from the knife into the onion, the combination of the pressure of the knife and the onion puts a flavor into the board.
Does it matter if the board is glass?
So the question about glass, if you assume glass doesn't absorb, so then it would be true over here also. That's what, you know, at least for sure in the video evidence, for sure you would say that.
Is he said it does or doesn't
transfer the board? In a case of glass, you're saying?
No.
It transfers into the board. It does transfer into the board. Right. So at least in the Chachilas, we're sure we're not like that. In the case of Bidi Evans, a person then used that board, which is now fleshig, and they took their power of a knife, and they cut onions on their parver knife on their seemingly parver board, but they enough on others as fleishig. So now it's going to work the other way around. And now you have
fleishig onions.
Onions.
That's the kaptila. Is there a video of it or no?
It's the Gale of Weiss, so you better ask the rabbi. There are some shittas which argue about it, so you know, in the cases of bidyeva, the chachila person should be very careful with that.
And does the knife get affected by that?
Okay, next question is what happens to the knife? So let's change the scenario. We'll talk about the scenario later on, but I can talk about it now. So let's start an easy scenario. Person, forget about the cutting board. So, you know, I cut my take a fleshing knife, it's clean, it hasn't been used in 3 days, it hasn't used. With hot fleishig, I cut some steak, hot steak, 3 days ago. Haven't used anything hot in 3 days. I cut an onion. Totally clean knife. So the onion is now fleishig. Because even though it's more than 24 hours, it doesn't make a difference when it comes to Dover Chorev. So I have a fleishig onion. Now I take my, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. So I put that away, pull my parver knife, and I start cutting my onion with my parver knife. My parver knife is now fleishig. So it works multi-directional. So now, the scenario, which of course I've gotten, which is worse than that, of course, is
now you use the onions for something. Okay.
Well, before that, as the person pulled out a milchika knife and decided to cut with a milchika knife, so now I have a tray for onion. If I use a milchika knife, so now I have fleishika flavor going to the onion, and I have milchika flavor going into the onion. So the onion is treif, and the milchika knife is also treif. I have to kasha the milchika knife. Then, of course, usually what happens then is the person tells them they put it into their milchika frying pan with cheese, you know. And that's usually what happens, you know. And their spatula, and then they and some and a fork, and then they mix up the fork in the dishwasher. You know, that's usually how the story goes. Something like that. You know? Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, like, answer. So, but I mean, one more step. I said, oh, no, what happened now? Like, I told one person, he actually had one, which I think was like 7 steps. I said, you have to write this up. I'm going to use this on the Bechina for the Yeridei Bechina. Like, write up all the steps. What are you, passing all the steps. Okay.
So it's a transfer from the cutting board to the onion, to the knife, all at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
They now sell fixable knives at
A to Z. What?
They now sell the Israeli knives in A to Z.
Yeah?
You can just go get another knife.
Right, okay.
And
some of the things you've messed up in the
Okay.
You say the knife had to have been used for fleishig, like hot fleishig?
At some point in time. Now that is a little bit of a saving grace. I once had a woman came and asked me, she said, you know, she used the milchika knife to cut the onion. I says, when was the last time you used this milk? Did you ever use the milk knife for hot? Cutting hot, something hot? She said, no. I said, okay, so then it's irrelevant. It's not a milk knife, as far as I'm concerned.
You had sharp, like, cheese.
Sharp cheese.
Yeah. Use it for cheese, it's not hot thing.
Like sharp cheddar cheese.
In general, I've not found that the place can consider sharp cheese a double core for this purpose.
What's it called? Like the jack, the pepper jack. It would be, right? Like, you know the cheeses that have, like, jalapeno peppers in them? Jalapeno jack cheeses?
I don't, but okay, now I do. Theoretically,
they're
that...
great.
Okay, theoretically, that would be an issue. Yeah, that would be theoretically an issue if you'd have that situation, yes.
Have you been looking for a list of what's in Makar?
Yes, I am.
Well, when you're talking about hot, are you talking about...
Yatsa lettuce bowl. Yatsa lettuce
bowl. You're talking about temperature,
not spicy. We'll get the spicy. Spicy is the v'chorv. The original b'liyah was through heat. It would be yatzo lettuce bone. Interesting halacha. So the waiting of yes.
I'm sorry. You can have the cutting boards stored next to each other, right?
That's not a problem. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Okay. Just make sure they're marked well.
No, I'm saying if I have like the plastic ones, that way when I mess up, because you always do, you can throw them away, and they get whatever, it's easier. But you keep like the green one and the blue one and the yellow one and whatever all next to each other.
That's fine.
And, like, that's fine.
Okay. The person cuts his onion with a fleishig knife. Now you have a fleishig onion. He sits down and he has a part of a meal with these fleishig onions. Does he have to wait 26 hours? afterwards. Halacha is no. Kerega says no. There's no halacha waiting 6 hours after the fleishig tam going into this onion. So the onion is considered fleishig, and you mix it together with milchik, you have major headaches. But you don't have to wait six hours before you eat actual milchiks afterwards.
So is that the same thing with the chrein? The chrein that's said in the dish, and like you, let's say you have it for Sunday lunch with your, you know, just fish and
correct, chrein. Right?
So then you don't have to wait 6 hours.
Correct.
Like 5 minutes later, you can have, or whatever, you can have a cup of milk.
Yes, as long as it's not together. Now, what about the other way around? So that you had the fleishigs, and you had a situation where you have a milchika onion. Okay, you cut an onion with a bona fide milchik knife, means that it been used for hot cheese, which was the atzeletas bow, something of that sort. So it's a bona fide milchika knife. It's a bona fide milchika onion. Now I had fleishigs for lunch, and I want to eat some, an hour later, I want to eat these onions. Can I eat these onions within 6 hours after I ate fleishigs? So that is a machloikis, and you could be makel on that and assume that goes. That's also permitted. So it works both ways. Now, there are some places which are makel, but Rabbi Asher Zatzal was makel on that. You do not have to wait 6 hours in that situation.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. What time was that one different?
So we pass that it's not. There are opinions that say it's different. We pass that it's not. So it works both ways.
How scenario
was the first scenario was that I had this fleishig onion, and I wanted to know, can I have milchiks afterwards? Yeah. Second scenario was I had fleishigs, okay, and I want to eat a milchik onion. Right. That's the scenario that doesn't. Okay. Okay, what's considered a dover chorif? For the purposes of halacha, so the example which the Mor gives two examples. One of them is called snow, which is radishes. The other one is called chilsis, which we're not clear in halacha what exactly chilsis is. It's some very very sharp type of something like jalapeno peppers, something of that sort, which is very sharp. Onions are considered a davar chorif. Garlic, chrein is considered a davar chorif. Lemons, lemon juice. A very salty fish. Olives are considered in halacha to be considered davar chorif. Some people claim maybe the American olives are not.
Fish.
Not, you know, like the strong salted fish.
So if you have olives in the Tupperware, like after you open a can and they sit in Tupperware, let's say they become milk like olives?
Correct. Again, you have to know, was your Tupperware really milchik? You know, was ever really used for hot? Did you really put real hot milchik in there? It's not necessarily.
It's hard to remember, like if you labeled it as milchik, I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, the last two years,
have I used this for anything hot?
If you use it in the microwave, you would probably have a situation,
yeah,
right? Okay. Yeah. Brine, so something which is mei melach, which is, you know, brine or chametz, which is vinegar. So that creates the issue with pickles. Pickles therefore get a dinim davar chorif. The example of that, we said, you know, the idea of duchah, the skin is not limited enough to a knife. So I puncture my pickle with a fork to pull the pickle out of the. So I just made that pickle. The gender, say if the fork has never been used with anything hot, right? But if I have a fleishig fork, I used it with hot meat to cut hot meat, you know, at some point in time. So now I have a fleishig pickle.
Does it affect the brine that it's in?
So now if it sits in the brine, so then the flavor goes from the pickle into the brine.
And then the whole jar is fleishig.
Then the whole jar is fleishig. And then if you do that once with milk, a milk thing, now you have a major headache. Yes?
So can I use, I don't have a par fork. Can you? Okay. I honestly don't have the can you use, like, let's say I want to mash something like a banana, I'm making banana muffins. I can use a fish or milk fork to mash, and it's still, because it's not harif.
Correct.
It's par.
Right.
Everything's par.
Right.
Okay, the pressure doesn't.
It means nothing.
The question about the brine. So if you take that pickle out with a fleishig, the pickle is fleishig, and like you pull it out right away.
It's not a problem. The you have 18 minutes.
Right.
You have 18 minutes for the brine.
The remaining brine in the jar is not a
Right, but if you decide to take your plate, cut it with your knife, put it back, so that's not a good idea, because you made this pickle fleishig milchig, and then the scenario could be you cut it on the plates, so even if the knife is not a problem, maybe the plate is a problem. So you have the plate, you have the knife, you have the pickle, you have the brine, you have the fork, you have all the things you have to be aware of when you're dealing with pickles. Now in the bidi yavetz, maybe it's mutter. In the bidyavit, some of these might be mutter, so you want to, these are definitely how to do it properly, chathchila. If somebody has a question, you know, which had happened lamaisa, you can pick up a phone and ask a rabbi, he might tell you that it's mutter. I just want to tell you there are some coolers out there. There is a discussion about very sharp, sour fruits, like sour apples, etc. And there's some say that's not considered... it's not considered a davar charev.
Mustard.
Now anything which is very spicy, a strong spice, is considered a davar charev for this purpose.
Can you go through some of those? Because I feel like garlic, onions, mustard. Like what else? And does it apply to things that are mustardy? Like if I am making a dish and I add a bunch of mustard powder.
So the Rama says that when I have a mixture of non-chorif and chorif together, it depends on roif. That's what the Rama says. Comes along the Taz, the majority. Comes along the Taz, which is one of the before Shem and the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, you don't need exactly roif, but what you need is that the charifus is extremely tasty, extremely... Palpable in the food. All right, it has to be, so you know, add a little bit of, you know, I spice my foods up, you know, that's not a problem. If I haven't make a very, very spicy dish, so I'd have an issue of you know, that's what they call it, kharif, you know, for a reason. So that would be an issue of a davar charev.
So like a garlic on something, you didn't have like the strong scent. So like a garlic that would make such a difference?
Right, so the garlic itself, when you're cutting, you have to be aware of. Same way, once you put the garlic on the chicken, that's not going to make your chicken into a chorif.
So if I make a par of salad, and I'm careful that I use a par of knife and a par of cutting board, but I put it in a container that perhaps at one point went in my microwave, that whole thing becomes fleshy.
Container of?
A fleshy container.
If it sits for 24 hours.
Right.
And it's wet. I'm assuming there's some wetness to it, right? Without wetness, it wouldn't be a problem, right?
Garlic powder that you get, like,
is
that not
hard?
That's not considered the same.
I don't think. I mean, and now you lose me. You know, at some point in time, I don't know. These spices don't mean anything to me. You're asking the wrong half of the equation.
Yeah, but you could totally taste, go like this and taste it. It doesn't burn your mouth. It's right. The same as salt for all purposes.
And now, I mean, the salt actually has. Okay. Now the person did speak about, you know, at least in their root form. So it talks about ginger. Talks about these things. It says ginger is considered a davar charev. You know, you get a piece of ginger, and it's a very pungent, very strong flavor. If it's just a minimal amount of liquid, that's not what wouldn't make it flesh. I mean, you know, there's some amount of liquid pooling on the bottom. Back to your scenario of coming, sitting in the just a little liquid, and that's not what we're talking about. Someone's covered. There's some liquid there. So you added some lemon juice and some vinegar, etc., and it's pooling on the bottom. So that's pooling on the bottom. It's pooling there. That's a covered situation.
It's not the, I mean, wouldn't apply the 18-minute rule in that situation? In other words, if it went into that dish and it was there for 18 minutes?
So... Mr. Chikobis, the scenario was not even a charev situation. This was a side issue. If I have a non-charev salad and make everything parv, etc., and now it sits in a fleishig, a container, which has been used for actual hot fleishigs, does the salad become fleishig? So just the fact that it's a little bit wet is not what we're talking about. But if it would be there's a significant gathering of liquid on the bottom, you would have a problem. If it would be charev, it would be 18 minutes. That makes things more exciting. Okay, so it has to be a significant flavor to get it in a charev. Okay, so when it comes to one scenario, which I've had this happen, I've had the shiloh more than once, so a person told me, so they cut their onion with a fleishig knife. and they put it into their blender. So the blender's knives, the same way we said the flavor goes from the knife into the onion, flavor goes from the onion back into the blender knife. So the blender itself is not fleishig, but the knives of the blender are now a question. There's now the card that should be fleishig. So the answer over there is we assume it's a problem, and therefore preferably a person should kasher them. A person cannot kasher them for whatever reason. There are some places which are going to be matir. Rabbi Yashiv, that's how that was. Bidi Yavid, the flavor would not go back. Right? So in the case of Bidi Yavid, that's what you should be asking. Halakha l'maaseh, you should be asking, you know, asking a shayla. But the chatkila in that situation, a person would have to kasher the not the whole blender, but the knives, or if you have a food processor or something of that sort. So if you can take those knives out and kasher them, you have to kasher them. The kashering process would be the process of a gol. Let's sit 24 hours, clean, you pour, and you immerse it into boiling hot water. Okay. Slicers, choppers, shredders, graters, forks, knives, pestles, all those things, fine. The amount of absorption is equivalent to the amounts. In other words, I cut my onion with a knife, so I cut it one time. So we assume that the amount of flavor which was absorbed was the amount of the knife, the amount of the knife touched the onion, and the thickness of the knife. So theoretically, now if I take my onion, I put it now, I did it, let's say, with the milk of a knife, I put it into my chicken soup. There's 60 times in the chicken soup more than the amount of the flavor which has been absorbed into the onion. So, but yeah, that soup will be fine, including the onion. That's different than your average case. You know, the onion is bona fide halachically problematically fleishig or something of that sort. I cooked it directly with that. I put it. I have to take the onion out. Everything else will be mutter. And over here, the onion itself becomes mutter also.
There's no way if you like start cutting, you're like, oh no, to like then take a part of it and like cut off that section, right?
Okay, so yeah, we're gonna get there. So if you're Sephardi, so the answer is you remove what's called kadei netila. Now kadei netila is this thick. It's about an inch. It's the thickness of the joints of the thumb across. It's about an inch. You take that off, and the rest of the item is totally parif. If you're an Ashkenazi, so the Rambam says that we're nerg lechatchila that the whole onion becomes milk fleishig, whatever the scenario might be. He agrees b'di'evid that it's not so.
So, like, if it's your last onion, and you realize halfway through your cut, is that considered b'di'evid or lechatchila?
That's called lechatchila. But once you mixed it already, if you came to me, you already mixed it with milchiks.
Okay.
So
if I already mixed it, then I can eat it, but I can't be like, oh, it's my last onion, I really need it, so I can.
Right. Now, correct. That's not called b'di'evid. That's not called b'di'evid, right?
was.
That's what good neighbors are for.
Now, let's say a person says, listen, you know, I sat down before I put it in, I tasted but the taste of the onion. I didn't taste any fleishigs on the onion. You know? Right? You know, so apparently for whatever reason, you know, this knife must have been not really been able to do its job. So what happens over there? So it's relevant in a halacha in a b'di'evid situation. We don't rely on that lechatchila. I can't say I tasted it, everything's fine, so I'm allowed to go put it into my milchiks. But if you did put it into your milchiks, you tell me that you're a person who knows what you're doing, you tasted it, but you have it, what would you want to? So you always want to protect yourself, just make sure you taste all your onions beforehand. That's not so realistic, I don't think. Okay. Let's go through a few scenarios. Some I've seen in some Sforim, some which have come to me, halacha l'maaseh, etc. Okay, first scenario. So I have an onion and I cut it with a clean meat knife and I mix it with cold dairy. So what do? I remove the onion and I can eat the food. It's called daring, so it's not a problem. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happened other than that the onion is fleshig. I can't eat it with what's called dairy, so I take the milk. I take the onion out, and I'm okay. Okay. The onion. I cut the onion with the power of a knife on a fleshig plate. So we said, so the onion becomes fleshig. Now, if I then take that onion and I mix it with milchik, right? So I have a fleshig onion mixed with milchik, so the chart should be a problem. There is an opinion which holds that it might be mutter, so you should definitely ask a shal in that situation. You should ask. That situation was a par of a knife on a fleshig plate, not that it was a fleshig knife. It was a par of a knife on a fleshig plate, so on the chaskilu v'shur machmer, in the case you mixed it already, it might be mutter. So you have to ask a shal in that situation. Making sense? Yeah, okay. Okay, I cut my onion, let's say, for example, with a milchika knife on a fleshig plate. So the onion is also. The onion is considered fleshig and milchik together. It's a milchika knife, fleshig plate. Good, so the onion is out. Now, what's the status of the knife? What's the status of the plate? Right? So the same way this flavor is the milchika flavor and the fleshig flavor joining in the onion, they're also joining in the knife and in the plates. So what do you do in that situation? That's also a case where maybe Bidi Yavin might be mutter. So you'd want to ask a shal in that situation.
The knife and the plate.
What? The knife and the plate. Both of those would be questionable.
Does that have anything to do with how quickly you realize you've done it? I mean, time-wise?
As long as you got down to the point where you're pressing down into the plate, you're in trouble. Okay. I grated an onion onto a fleshig plate. There was no pressure directly. I was grating.
And onion on top.
I had a plate there, and I had my grater, and I was grating the onion.
Yeah,
so it's falling on top over there.
So the
grater is parv, right? So in that situation, the onion would remain parv because there's no pressure, which is going directly between the onion and the plate. You know, there's pressure on the onion on the grater, but not that that's. That's between the onion and the grater. There's no connection between the onion and the plate. So that would remain parv. But you should not do that l'chadchila. It would not be a good idea to do l'chadchila.
Even if it sat
there for 18
minutes, then let's say
7 minutes. If there wasn't a significant amount of liquid sitting there, so then... But yeah, but I'm going to tell you that it's going to... No. What, if it would sit there for 18 minutes, you'd have a problem. Yeah.
With or without liquid?
It has to have some liquid, but you don't need significant liquid for that. Let me think about that. You need kavush. So kavush needs some level. It can't just be moist. It has to be there's liquid. It can't be just moist. Yes. Okay. Person cut an onion with a fleshig knife, cooked it into a parv dish, and removed the onion, mixed the rest of the dish with milchik. Okay? I got the shayla. Person cut the onion with a fleshig knife, mixed it into a parv dish, cooked it with a parv dish.
Cooked it.
Cooked parv.
Cooked it in the parv, removed the onion, and mixed the rest of the food with milk.
How can you cook when what's cooked?
What? What?
You did not dice it.
Okay.
Cut it in half.
Cut it in half.
Okay. Put half an onion in, cooked it.
Cheesecloth.
Right? Pulled it out, and mixed it with milk. So, but yeah, that's mutter. But yeah, that situation is mutter. The logic behind it, I don't want to get involved in, but believe me, it's mutter, okay? Sounds strange. Okay, we discussed the case of the cutting onion with a fleshig knife, then with a parv knife, fleshig knife, and then a milchika knife. Okay. Cut onion with a fleshig knife, blended in a parv blender, we discussed that case. Okay, person took cold meat and onions. Don't ask me why somebody would do this, but a person put into a parver grinder. So the fact that the onions are there with the meat would allow the flavor of the meat to be absorbed into the grinder. So even if you could clean your grinder out perfectly, it's a place like a grinder now. Because the onions, which are there together with the meat, and the grinding process would make the grinder into flations.
The same thing would happen if you were, I don't know, some muscle, whatever man, and you were making a smoothie or whatever, and you had some dabar harif, I don't know, a ginger smoothie, I have no clue, whatever it is, and you had milk in there, then your blender would become milchig?
If you'd be pressing against the ginger.
Pesto. It's always like, okay, you have to make the pesto first, and then you have to take it out and add in all the Parmesan cheese. I can't just add the Parmesan cheese into my blender and have it stay part, even though it's cold because there's garlic in there, right? Am I correct?
I don't know how much garlic there is.
It tastes garlic.
Yes, if it does, so then that would be an issue.
Okay.
Are we going to get into once the onion is being cooked?
Yes. Okay. Now, so that's talking about cases of cutting, etc. What about cooking? So, there's one saving grace when it comes to cooking, is that once a food has been cooked, specifically onions, they say it for sure by onions, once it's been cooked for a period of time, we assume that it loses its sharpness. So, onions which are fried for a while, they're not sharp anymore. Or they've been cooked in water, they're not sharp anymore. In the beginning they are, but eventually they lose that. So, okay, so let's go through a few scenarios. So that, just keep that in mind. So the first scenario was a person fried onions in a milchika frying pan. So the onions will become milchika. Obviously, that's simple. Now, a person we'll build up the cases. A person cut an onion with a fleshika knife. He added to a parvah pot of soup. But the onions went in fleshika already. So the fact that you cooked them afterwards will not help you. You're just cooking fleshika flavor into your parvah pot. So the soup is, unless there would be 60 times the soup to the amount of flavor you'd have in the onions.
Are you allowed to add water to make that happen?
No. Can't be about the chachilu. So we can't eat the soup with milchik. What's the status of the pot? It was a parva pot to start with, so the pot remains parva. In that situation, the pot remains parva because the flavor left the onion. See, even though, I mean, there's no din of napar nat regards to the flavor in the onion. But the flavor from the onion into the pot is a nap or not situation. So, at least in the case of a bidi yevid, we'll consider the pot still consider parv.
But you said the soup is flesh.
The soup is that you cannot eat with milchik, right? It wouldn't make you be allowed to eat milchik right afterwards, right? But you couldn't eat it with milchik. But the pot is parv still.
So, can you serve it? What kind of dish would you put it in?
Plastic. disposable.
I don't understand the question. Why don't you just put it in a fleshach dish?
Well, I guess if you're saying, in fact, you can have milk, you can't eat it together,
right.
But you can. There's no limitation, so what are you serving it with? Yeah.
Okay. What about like an immersion cooker? It's like cold, like a soup you made, let's say, in a milk pot with onions, and then it's cold.
The things you put in to make your soup.
Right, so once you've cooked it ready, so the onions are not chorf anymore. So that will not...
Okay.
That will not
so I could use an immersion blender that's parv.
Correct, and it would say parv.
And that doesn't matter how the onions are cooked. It could be sautéed or...
Like, doesn't make a difference. Okay. Right.
As long as they're cooled up.
Correct.
And cooled off means not yet to let us go.
Not yet to let us go.
Wait. Your question is if it's a milchig soup, you're saying?
Right, okay,
if I have a cold milk of a soup and I take a part of a blender, it's sort of, it's, even though it's fresher, but everything it stays part of. So even if I would tell you that the onion was a milk of onion, but once it's lost its power of a chorif, it's not going to put any flavor into the blender. Correct, you can do that. Okay. Okay, it was a It was a power of an onion. It was, you cut your onion with a power of a knife, you put it into a power of a frying pan, and you were frying, and you were very good with that, and then you pulled out a fleshig fork, and you moved it around. So in that situation, so that would depend when it was in the process. It was later in the process, already lost its charifas, so nothing's going to happen to your power of a pan. Your power of a pan will remain power of. If it was earlier on, where it was still sharp, so that the flavor would go from, take the onions would take the flavor out of the fleshig fork and make themselves fleshig, and then they can turn around and make your, in the case of their frying, they're going to turn around, there's no water in between, or there's minimal oil between, it's going to turn around and make your fleshig, onions are going to make your pot, the chatchil is going to be fleshig, chatchil you should kasher it.
It matters, as you said, the point at which you do this, like how charif they are at this point?
Correct. So if you do it later on in the process, it's been cooking for a while, it's been frying for a while, or cooking for a while, so it loses its charifas. So the exact number, I don't know, it probably depends on all onions we consider them charif. Now, the reality is some onions are sharper than others. And that we do take that into consideration, you know, when this passing the halacha, to take that into consideration. So, not that it's going to be mutter, but at least when I'm discussing the issue of how long it was cooking for, so I start with the milder onion, and it's been cooking for, you know, a minute or two, I might be makel. If it's very, very strong flavored onion, a minute or two, I might say, no, it's still probably still considered charif.
The way I always assumed that it went was whether or not they become translucent or transparent.
I don't know. I've never seen that brought down as a criteria, but you know, I can't tell you you're wrong. I've heard that. I've never seen it. I've never seen it, you know, given as a criteria. Okay. So here's the case which I get the most. So a person cut an onion with a fleshig knife and put it into a milchik frying pan. So it's a fleshig onion. It's going in right now. It's charif, and it's a milchik frying pan. So the onion is fleshig milchik. So it's possible to call it the onion. It's also cannot feed it to your dog. It's also can't have any hano out of it. So you can't do anything with it. Remember, it's a fleshig onion. Now the question, of course, is so what's the status of your frying pan? So your milchik frying pan now enjoyed having a tray of onion in it. So, Pasha, you have to kasher your frying pan. Now, here's the challenge. The challenge is what process do you do to kasher your frying pan? So, the process of kashering, there's two processes of kashering, which are the two most common processes, are what's known as hagala and libum. Hagala is you take the thing, you make it totally clean, 24 hours is not used, you immerse it in boiling hot water till the water gets boiling again, you pull it out, you run it under cold water immediately, and it's done. So, and you can even do that if it doesn't fit in your boiling hot water, you can do half at a time, everything is fine. Problem with that is, that works for things which absorb with liquid. But over here, it absorbed directly, it was frying directly on it, so you had maybe a little layer of, minimal layer of oil there just that shouldn't burn, or it was Teflon or something of that sort. So the assumption in that situation, it doesn't go in through liquid, it has to go out through direct heat, and you need libum. So doing libum on a frying pan is a little more intense, shall we say, especially if it's a Teflon frying pan, that's ending your Teflon frying pan. So you'd have to throw out the frying pan. So at that point in time, with the question you have to throw out the frying pan, there are some bidyabits which might make it mutter, and you have to ask a rabbi in a situation that might be mutter. The same thing, let's say you used your milchik spatula, of course, while you were stirring this or to move this your milchik silicon spatula to move this onion around in this your Teflon frying pan, so you have the same question on your spatula. I don't know how expensive spatulas are. I don't know what. So you just throw it out. You know that the heter of hefsid on the spatula is a little more difficult than on the frying pan. You know, you had the, so that would be harder to be make in that situation. Okay, I think I covered everything I wanted to cover. Okay, I wanted to talk about, and then I told myself I'm going to do it, and I just never did it. I wanted to go through some of the lachas of onions. I think you asked me about going to the lachas of cut onions overnight, all those issues of onions. I had prepared it. I don't have it with me. So I don't want to do that. Maybe a different time we'll do that. I have a question for you ladies. So the original plan to do the next year was going to be, turned out to be the night of the production, March 4th. That was next Monday in the schedule. The Monday after Purim didn't make too much sense. There's still recovery mode. So the question, the women are recovering from the fact of what the men did on Purim. So my question is, would Wednesday night, March 6th, make sense? Would that be an acceptable night? I think that's my question. Whoever is Wednesday night's any different than... I mean, Thursday nights, I know, are not a good night for ladies. It's Erev Shabbos already. And it's almost Erev Pesach already at that point in time. So I wouldn't consider a Sunday even as a Havamina, because Sundays are for... It's Erev Pesach, you're busy cleaning. But a Wednesday night should work, I think. I'm assuming a Wednesday night would work. So let's assume for Wednesday. So Wednesday night, March 6th, be the next year. And that'll be the Pesach year. Getting ready for Pesach year, which we said it last year, we said it 2 years ago, we said it 3 years ago, but it's good to do Chazor, and there's always something new to learn.